This episode of Our Fair City is sponsored by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Please enjoy the show.
Tonight's broadcast is brought to you by the company you depend upon for all of your greatest needs, Heart Life. These stories are true dramatizations from Our Fair City's glorious history. So listen and remember, Heart Life, all the life you'll ever need.
Heart Life's Department of Memory is not merely a repository of surveillance footage, nor is it entirely an arsenal of hi-fi audiovisual manipulation devices. Although we pride ourselves on these resources, we are more than the sum of our parts. For you see, the Department of Memory is an ideal. It is a reminder that the milestone events of our past live on even when we do not. The message inherent is that Heart Life will always remember. It will not forget you unless it chooses to. These stories, these dramatic reconstructions I compose, have a long reach. Were I so inclined, I could release the uncanny microtape recorded by a young Agent Chamberlain during his gory investigation of several inexplicable metaphysical murders. I have the means to offer you a sentimental glimpse of Lomi the Mole Pup standing up for her litter against a labor of bullies. I could even play you the audition tapes of our city's last known Archibald Funny Pants. He was even worse back then. But no, if we are to truly understand the cataclysmic events of our city's final cycle, we must dig deep, uncover the seeds of our ruination. Ironically, they were planted with the absolute best of intentions. Let us go back in time together to visit a simpler Heart Life. On a floor high within the tower, we see a policy recruitment center, more informally known as the Executive Maternity Ward. It was ominously silent that morning. Silent save for the pacing footsteps of young Deputy Director Harrison, a man teetering on the precipice of a new life.
Relax, Harrison. Everything's going to work out.
Thank you, Williams. I appreciate you being here.
Of course. A Deputy Director hasn't voluntarily sired progeny for as long as I can remember. Big responsibility.
Yes. Lizzie is thrilled.
Probably not right now, though. Because, you know, labor pains. I should go.
Williams, wait.
Yes?
Updates on Director Bordeaux?
Nothing to worry about. Bordeaux's a fighter through and through. She's a warrior from the days of old.
Yes, she is. Out of the emergency ward, then?
No. Last I checked, she was still admitted. But no cause for alarm, a little chest cold, that's all. I know what you are thinking, Harrison, and I advise you to focus on the positive. In a short while, you'll have a beautiful, what, son?
Daughter.
Interesting choice.
Lizzie's.
A daughter, then. A wonderful occupation of one's time, I imagine.
Good morning, executives. I am Cromwell, assistant to the board of directors.
Cromwell. We've met before.
Indeed. Deputy Director Harrison, a word?
Of course.
In private?
Right. I'll go check up on Liz. See if she needs any, what is it, milk?
Now then, Miss Rachel Bordeaux has retired from Heart Life.
I see. I'll send a memo to my department as soon as...
By directorial consensus and company mandate, you are hereby promoted. Congratulations, Director Harrison.
Excuse me?
Was I unclear, Director?
No, I just... Well, this is...
The greatest day of your life. Yes. Please, follow me, sir. Your orientation begins immediately.
Wait, I want to... I mean, I ought to...
Immediately, sir.
Of course.
Harrison, the baby! Get in there, man!
I'm unavailable, Williams. Please tell Lizzie I'm unavailable.
I see. Keep us in the loop, Director.
And so began the glorious tenure of Director Harrison, auspiciously ascended into a new life the very day his daughter was born. Had his child, the self-styled Emily Caligari, cared as much for the company as did her father, our world may not have ended in such dismal circumstances. But she, as we know so well, must be right, must fix everything herself. Thus has it ever been.
We talked about this, Emily.
No, you talked, and I ignored you.
You're far too smart to be wasted in science. Must you do that now? The managerial select incubator will round out your skill set, particularly the delegation and teamwork quotients, which were the weak points of your last potentiality evaluation.
Pass.
This isn't some sanctioned happiness and improved productivity pairing that you can just walk out on after one meeting.
In my defense, she was an idiot.
She matched you on 23 of the 28 compatibility criteria, including physical appearance.
A pretty idiot, I'll give you that.
But this, Emily, this is actually important. This is a one-way ticket to corporate leadership. No one who goes into the incubator comes out with anything less than a vice presidentship, and every member of the board of directors has graduated from it.
And what good would that do?
Good? You'll be in a position to affect the entire city. Possibly to save the entire city.
Please. Other people will be saving the city while I do laps in one of the executive pools. Management only ever gets in the way, usually by deciding to mitigate the effects of problems rather than actually fixing them.
Fixing the problem? It just creates two more. Mitigation is often the best solution long term. Something you'll understand when you're a better manager.
And how much help was that better management when Mother was sick?
This discussion is over. Whatever you think, the company has assigned you to the MSI. Hot Life believes, as do I, that your place is in management. And that is the end of it.
Yes, it is.
What did you do?
I've canceled my policy and negotiated a new one. With the proper scores for the Science Academy. Except for identity variants, but really any idiot can hack that. Emily Harrison no longer exists in Heartlife.
Acquisition.
Deputy Director Torres, my daughter has submitted a new policy to the company.
Let me check. I don't see anything.
Cross-reference with Science Academy applications.
Right. Yes, interesting name. Caligari. It looks like the new policy has been approved. I could revoke it if you like. Director?
No. Have the actuaries run the numbers and have her put under Professor Machina's direct supervision. We'll manage this.
Yes, Director.
And so it was. For many fiscal cycles, the noble and magnanimous Director Harrison and his wayward daughter had nothing to do with one another. Nothing short of the end of our glorious civilization could bring them together again. But here, at the end of all that is good, of all that is worthwhile, at the end of Heart Life, here we find a fully grown and irredeemable Emily Caligari fuming outside the private office of Director Harrison.
Open up! It's urgent! The city needs your help! Fine. I tried to be civil about this.
Dr. Caligari!
Hello, Cromwell.
Get away from that door! You are in violation!
Sorry. Try to breathe slowly. You hear that, Director? Your guard dog is encased in plastic. I'm giving you one last chance to open up. All right. This isn't the first door I've demolished today! Oh.
Hello, Emily.
Hello.
Please remove this trinket from my door. The wood was quite expensive, when such things still mattered.
Listen, in case you haven't heard, the situation downstairs is spiraling out of control. Algae farmers, PWCs, even Street Safe is falling apart. At this rate, the city will...
Yes, I understand. Quite a revolt is underway. Bloodshed. The disruption of labor.
The initial violence from the Stormhawks has died down, but it's not over. Rioting is just the beginning. The people are emboldened. It's only going to get worse.
Yes.
You look tired.
It comes with the office. Will that be all, then?
No, that's not all! The people of Heartlife need you to come down from your penthouse and acknowledge them. It's not too late to reach a peaceful solution.
There's an empty seat on the board, you know. Normally those positions are filled within a matter of minutes, but I arranged to have this one held open. I wanted it filled by someone special. We all did.
I am not a manager.
No. Your mother was a manager.
Seriously?
She was a people person. She could perceive value in the most wayward of policies and draw it out of them. It not only made her good at her job, it's why I loved her. I always hoped you would be like her. Kind, hopeful.
I am who I am, Father.
Yes, solution-oriented. Just like me.
Then help me find a solution.
We had a solution. An army of unwavering giant ants. Remember them? And your assignment was to harness that resource. A resource you fixed.
I did what I had to do.
Had to? Had to what? Prove that you and you alone know what's best for this city.
That's not true.
There were alternatives to the ants, of course. Why, imagine if our policies were still proud of their company. If they felt inspired, fearful of outsiders, vigilant against dissent. A carefully orchestrated disaster would have achieved this outcome. Unifying. Galvanizing them to defend Heartlife against all odds. But again, you meddled with our plans. Thwarting the hope of Heartlife's purpose, you unspooled the tenuous fabric of our society.
You tried to incinerate thousands of people. I will not apologize for stopping that.
Better for them to be cut down by giant ants?
No one could have known.
We knew, but you, Emily, are too short-sighted. Too vainglorious to conceive of a design larger than your own ambition. You and your gang of liminals defied us at every opportunity, and for what? Does saving a handful of urchins change anything? No! You defied us to sate your self-righteous morality.
This is not about me. I have only ever acted in the best interest of the city, and I still am.
No. You feel entitled to do whatever you please because you think you're smarter than everyone else. Well, you aren't. Doctor, I didn't make you that way.
You don't know anything about me.
I know everything about you. Every act of sedition I had to absolve, every blacklist I had to expunge. From the day you walked out on us, you've been nothing
then
but
why bother? You never cared about me. Nothing beyond your sacred boardroom ever mattered.
I am not finished.
But you are. You just don't know it yet.
Emily, all I've ever wanted was to ensure the continued success of the company. Can't you understand that that's more... Where are you going?
Goodbye, Father. I wish we both could have been more like her. Nice pool, Director.
Thanks!
You have a lot of nerve strutting around here without permission, Emmy. Where's Cromwell?
If I were you, I'd pack a bag.
Oh. Did you hear that, Williams?
What? There's water in my ears.
Oh, Williams.
And so Emily Caligari, née Harrison, walked away from her birthright. Soon, her descent from the heights of leadership would sink her deep into a maelstrom of her own design. In the misguided attempt to shape the future of Heart Life, Dr. Caligari became the architect of its dissolution. Remember what I have revealed to you, dear listener. Preserve these essential moments of our history, and together we can ensure that the story of our fair city continues.
Loyal Policies. This is HeartLife NFP executive producer Jeffrey Gardner. Thank you so much for listening to Our Fair City. This week, I'm here to deliver a special shout out to Loyal Policy Amy Talo, one of our manager level Patreon backers. Amy, your third fiscal quarter productivity has been noted by the board with great satisfaction, and they commend you for your diligence and your corporate responsibility. If you want to join Loyal Policies like Amy and support Our Fair City, go to patreon.com/heartlifenfp and become a backer. You can support us for as little as $1 a month, giving you access to bonus scripts, character playlists, and more. We couldn't make this show without our loyal Patreon backers. Thank you all so, so much for your support. And as always, we'll see you in the tunnels.